So good to see you in the house. You know, these are extraordinary days that we're living in. And if there's one thing we need today is we need God, we need His presence, and we need hope, don't we? And that's why I think this series is so relevant. So let's continue. We're going to have a great time after the service, but let's just concentrate and to hear what God is saying today. I believe that God really wants to minister to us and do something inside of us today. So let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you for the power of your word. Your word is living and active. It's sharper than the double-edged sword. It can penetrate deep beyond our mind, right deep into our soul and in our spirit. It can judge our thoughts and attitudes that we've expected, or we've accepted, and it can literally correct all of that. And Lord, help us to get on your path, on your track, in the will of God, serving you, loving you, Lord, bringing glory to your name. So I thank you. We just commit this time to you in the word. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about hope. And my message today is entitled, Get Your Hope Back. Get Your Hope Back. And I think maybe we perk up a little bit when we hear a message like this on this topic of hope. Because today, let's admit it, we are living in what appears to be an increasingly hopeless world, aren't we? You know, along with this pandemic and all that goes with it, we're seeing a broken government. We're seeing a slumping economy, and that it's just a slide into a huge economic debt that we're getting into as a nation. We're seeing disunity and division in our country like we've never seen it before. We're seeing a loss of personal rights and freedoms like we've never seen before. And, you know, all this is happening in our country, but also it's happening globally, isn't it? You know, and add to that, I'm starting off on a negative tone, but I'm telling you, I'm going to build you up here, okay? But add to that all our personal problems. You know, we aren't free from trouble ourselves personally, are we? You know, we see a lot of people, they find themselves in the, you know, I never heard the divorce rate being so high during these times. We're seeing addiction rates rise. We're seeing people that had kicked their addictions are doing well, going back to them because of a sense of hopelessness. We're seeing the addiction rates rise even in children. And we're seeing people that are caught up in despair of chronic illness and physical and mental illness. And no matter what the reason, it's so easy for all of us to get to this place where there's no joy or little joy, and instead there's anxiety coming on us like a truckload, you know, and it all feels so hopeless. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." God is a tree of life, but at the same time, we've got to realize that hope deferred can be dangerous to us. Three things that could happen to us. The first thing is that hopelessness causes depression, which greatly affects our mental and emotional health. Another thing is that it affects our spiritual health. It can, you know, hope deferred can literally hinder our prayers, can't it? And it could cut us off and disconnect us from God. And hope deferred over a long period of time will eventually affect a person physically. It'll eventually make you physically sick. So being without hope can be a dangerous thing. One of the greatest realities that we need to realize is this, is that we were not made for this world. That we are only passing through. Thank God we're not going to be on this planet forever. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One of the greatest realities as believers that we need to realize is this fact on your PowerPoint. First fact. The fact is that life on earth is hard. Life is hard, but at the same time, fact number two, is that God is good. God is good. He is so good. He is way gooder, right, than life is hard. Amen? So as believers, why do we sometimes give up hope? Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 19. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Soul is so important because it keeps us connected to God. So question, if hope is our anchor, why do we as believers sometimes we just drop our anchor? Why do we do that? Here's why. On your next PowerPoint. We reach a state of hopelessness when we allow something or someone to disconnect us from the goodness of God. The reality is that we can get disconnected, that we can, as human beings, we can lose our hope. But here's the good news. You can get your hope back. You can get your hope back. So the question is, how do we get our hope back? And we're talking about hope is an expectation. As believers, hope is, for people, hope is an expectation of something good coming along in life, right? As believers, for us, we add to that definition, hope is the expectation of the goodness of God, right? So hope is not, but hope, if you read your Bible, you realize hope is not just an expectation, it's more than that. Hope is our confidence. Hope is our courage. Hope is our faith that something good is going to come from God so that we can move forward in this life, amen? From, you know, to the good things, to better things in life than what we may be currently experiencing. Question number, the first thing I said, how do we get our hope back? The first answer I'm going to give you is this, by getting back into God's Word. How many times have you heard from this pulpit, you got to get into the Word? How many times? You can't even count the number of times, can you? Because that's how important it is. You know, it sounds like we're beating the same drum every week. But one of the things we need to clearly understand when you read your Bible is you will realize that you are not alone. Every single person in the Bible experienced sufferings and trials and setbacks. They all experienced that. They experienced hard times, losses. Even giant killer David experienced hopelessness, didn't he? He had difficult times. David was anointed to be king over the Israel and Judah, two kingdoms, when there was already a king in place, and that was Saul. Now, when there was a ruling king, and he found out there could be a possible opponent, a successor to his throne, what did he do? He immediately went, hunted that guy down, and he killed him. Well, when Saul heard that David was anointed to be king, he sent an entire army after himself, and he led that army. And David was literally on the run for months, weeks and months, possibly years, hiding and running from Saul. And in Psalm chapter 18, verse 4, David cries out to God. He says, "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my cry. My cry became before his ears." David's crying out. David's crying out, "God, life is so hard." But you know, if you keep on reading that psalm, you'll notice later in verses 30 to 32, David declares, "But as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. What did he say? The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. David is saying, yeah, life is hard, but God is so good. Amen? We need to get a word from God, and we need to declare that word, just like David did. We need to get a word like I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I'm not a weak person. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, right? Philippians 4:13. Well, how about like Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where God says to him, Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's a word for us today. Amen? And David declared in Psalm 23, the Lord's Shepherd, 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and your staff, they will comfort and protect me. Amen? We need to get the word inside of us. It needs to get be inside of us. You got to get that word inside of you. And you got to allow that word to take root in your life. How do you allow it to take root? Here's how you do it. It's called memorization. You need to read your Bible. You need to read the word. You need to hear the word. You need to memorize the word. You need to meditate on the word, and you need to declare that word. You need to speak that word over your life. Amen? It's so important. Here's why, because the word literally helps you. It's through the word that you find strength and wisdom to face all the situations in life that come up, all those challenging, negative struggles and problems. Secondly, it will increase your faith. It'll increase your hope so that you can literally believe for the impossible. That's how vital the word is. And the word of God is like it steers our life. It keeps us going in the right direction, not being veered off by other voices or fear or somebody else's opinion. It keeps us on the right path, and it keeps us from getting shipwrecked. On your PowerPoint, we need to be as committed to the word of God as we are to Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Our relationship with God, which also includes obeying and hearing him, is the most important thing in your life. Everything else is less important. It's that relationship with Christ, which includes hearing and obeying his word. You take that element of your life, you're not going to have much of a relationship. You're not going to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Everything else is secondary, because it's impossible to wage a spiritual battle with natural weapons. You need the word of God. We get our hope back. The number one way you're going to get your hope back is by going back into the word of God. Did we get that point? Get into the word. More than ever in these times, you need to get back into the word. Number two, you get your hope back by living in community. By living in community. Can I say this? You were never meant to do life alone. It is dangerous. It is dangerous to get isolated from community, from God's house, from God's shelter. Jesus said right here in John chapter 10, verse 10, he warned us. He said, the thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. The number one way that the enemy steals and destroys is by removing people from community. We are called to live in community. We are way stronger together. We are very strong together. It's God and us, right? That's a powerful force. As a pastor, we've been pastoring for years now. And we have never seen so many believers drifting and being shipwrecked. And it all started when they left community. The enemy, you have an enemy called the devil. He tries so hard to get people out of church. And I say, yeah, maybe right now it's smooth sailing. Maybe right now life is good. But Jesus said, there is a trouble coming over this earth that'll affect every person on the face of the planet. And you're going to need help, and you're going to need encouragement, and the type that you cannot find anywhere else except in His church. Amen? The church, I want to tell you, in these times that we're living in, we're just on the tip of the iceberg. Many scholars and believe we're heading into the last days of the last days. This is the safest place to be on earth. It's God's house. It's for our safety and for our protection and for our blessing. I say to get hope, you got to be anchored in community. You got to be anchored in community. And what's the major way to get anchored in community? Here we go. You know how? Get connected in a small group, in a serving group. Maybe you don't want to get into an intimate small group, right? Why don't you get on a serving team where you connect with people? You got to connect. God wants us to connect. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says that Jesus loved the church and He gave His life for the church. And it was David who said in Psalm 27, verse 4, he said, the one thing I ask of the Lord. I mean, he could have asked for anything, but he said, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek the most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How about you? What's your opinion about the house of the Lord? Do you love the house? And I have to honestly say, Karen and I love the house. We love worshiping in the house. We love serving in the house all the days of our life. And guess what? It's been almost 38 years. We're counting ourselves, aren't we? It's been 38 years in the house of the Lord. Maybe one minus one when I got sick and I couldn't preach. But you know what? It's going to be that way for the rest of our life. We will never leave the house of God. I love the church, and I want to build His church. And I pray that that gets into your spirit. And I pray that we at City Light Church, we would love what Jesus loves, and that we would build what Jesus builds. What's He building? His church. And if you're not involved with that, you're wasting your life. I'm going to get flack for some of the things I'm saying, but I believe I'm right. See, we've got to understand, church is family. Church is family. Family is another level. It's deeper. It's connected. It's caring. It's community. Amen? You know, it's a place where people that you would never even imagine would become family. And our family, right? No matter what background they're from, no matter what country they came from, no matter what color they are, no matter if they're vaccinated or they're unvaccinated, you are welcome here, amen? You are welcome here. There is no distinction in the eyes of God. No matter what the country will try to do to separate you, God wants us to be together. All these COVID restrictions, they should not separate the church. We need to be together. Don't let the enemy divide you from your family. Do what you can. It's God's will that we be together, that the church is a welcome place that denies nobody. Everybody is welcome. I want to say to you, you are welcome. You are family. I want you to listen to me here. God has a call on your life. And that call is to love the house and to build the house. Build a church. Because when you invest your life into the church, you are investing in the only hope for the world. The church is the hope of the world. In the last days, right now, we don't see the church as being a very powerful force. But God promises in his word in Isaiah the prophet, in the last days, and we are in the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be established as chief among the mountains. It is going to rise up and it is going to dominate every other mountain of society, business, education, every other arts, entertainment, media. It is going to rise up to be the force of the world. And nations will stream to the house of God. And they will see the light of the glory of Christ. Amen? It's the church. We are a part of the greatest thing that God is building on church. Don't denigrate that. Amen? Build the church. Be a part of the church. I say practically everyone should be a part of a serving team, part of serving somewhere, kids ministry, hospitality ministry, AV. And if you're gifted, talented, try out for the worship team. Get involved in teaching kids, Lord. We need a lot of work to be done maintenance-wise. Get on a maintenance team. Let's form these teams that build the church. Amen? Get in a small group. Let's start getting evangelistic and start reaching people for Jesus more and more and more. Amen? Amen? Hope is found right here. We are City Light Church, and we are family. This is family, and we are committed to each other through the highs as well as the lows. Amen? Yeah. We're not just there for the good times. We're here when it's difficult. When it's grinding sometimes, right? And when sometimes we have disagreements, we're human, so sometimes we don't always get along. And sometimes we don't always agree. But listen, we are one in Christ. We have one heart, one mind. We can have one heart, one mind, one spirit. Despite all those other little nuances and differences, we can be united. Amen? Hope is found here in community. Last one. You find your way back to hope by trusting in God's nature, trusting in his character. I say sometimes things happen to us that we don't understand, but we will when we meet with him in heaven. Amen? But in the meantime, God is here. He's here to comfort you. He's here to strengthen you. He's here to give you hope, and he's here to give you a future. Amen? And maybe today you've cried out to God, you prayed, you believed, and maybe your circumstances haven't changed yet. But can I say to this, we may not always get the answers in the time that we want those answers. But listen, here's what we can do. We can put our faith, we can put our hope in the goodness and the nature of God, which never, ever changes. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He is the same today, forever, and today, yesterday, and forever. And here, clearly it says that we're his children. We're his kids, and he's our father. And guess what? He is so good. He is so good. In fact, he's not just good. He's over the top good. Right? He's way gooder than we ever imagined. We just need to keep on going for him as kids and keep on asking, keep on believing. Like a good parent, he's going to give you stuff that you don't deserve. Keep on asking. Whatever it is, don't give up hope asking. He's there with us. He's Emmanuel, and he walks through all of it, good, bad, and ugly, with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, and he will bring us out of every single storm. Amen? As believers, I believe the greatest revelation that you and I need to have, the first and the greatest one is this. God is love. His greatest gift to you and me is his unfailing, everlasting love given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? It's so trustworthy. It's so unfailing. You know, here's the truth. And you got to believe this. God loves you as much as he loves his Son, Jesus. Do you believe that? He loves you as much as he loves his Son, Jesus. And with that truth in mind, with that truth alone should allow you to lift up your head and to fill your heart with hope in a very dark world. Amen? Psalm 130. You know, that's why Israel would sing. Psalm 130 verse 7. O Israel, keep hoping. Keep trusting. Keep waiting on the Lord, for he is tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving. He has 1,000 ways to set you free. No matter what sin you've committed, no matter how many screw-ups you've had, no matter what background committed, he loves you, loves you, loves you. And he's here to set you free. Amen? All you got to do is repent of your sins. Turn away. We reach a state of hopelessness when we allow something or someone to disconnect us from the goodness of God. God is so good, isn't he? God is so good. But can I add something to it? You got to do your part. You got to do your part. Abraham, who is considered to be the father of our faith, he's an example of us as a true believer in Christ. Abraham is an Old Testament believer living in a New Testament understanding. And here's what it says about Abraham. Romans 4, verse 18. When everything was hopeless. I want to put the word even in front of that first verse. Even when everything was hopeless, what did Abraham do? He believed anyway. Even when things seemed to be hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on a basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God said to him, himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Believe anyway. Amen? You're going to have a big family. Against all hope, Abraham hope. I'd love to get into the story of Abraham, but just don't have time. Pastor John Hagee, the great Pastor John Hagee. I love his preaching. He shared, we were watching him a couple nights ago, and he was sharing about when he was growing up, he had a younger brother. And when this younger brother was just a toddler, he started having epileptic seizures. And her mom took him to the doctor, and the doctor told his mom, you got to watch him. He will never have the normal life of the child growing up. And he can't do some of the things that the other kids do. And don't ever let him climb a tree. Because he could be up in that tree. He could have a seizure. He could fall out of that tree. He could break his neck. But his mom would not believe it. His mom did not give up hope. And John Hagee says he saw his mom pray for his brother every single day. Whether it was a holiday, it didn't matter who was there. She kept praying and praying and praying for his brother to be healed. And he says one day his mom took them to a church meeting. And she laid hands on his forehead and that little boy felt like he was struck by lightning. But when he got up, he never had another seizure in his life. Praise God. Did not give up. Hoped in the Lord. In the movie series, The Chosen, you know, a lot of you are familiar, a lot of you are watching it. If you haven't, you got to watch it. We're waiting for the next season. In one of the episodes, it shows the event where Jesus was, it took place in John chapter 5, where there's a paralytic. And he's lying there in Solomon's colonnade in the pool of Bethesda. And he's been a paralytic since he's just a boy, 38 years. Every day he's there. And there's a whole bunch of people around, lying around the pool. Every time the angel of the Lord comes and stirs the water, the first person to leap in there got healed. He was paralyzed. He couldn't get in there. But he lay there for 38 years. When Jesus shows up, starts talking to him. What are you doing here? And he explains his problem. And he says, get up. And he tells him, you know what? What did he say? And this, at least in the series, in the Chosen, the pool is nothing for you. You don't need it. You only need me. See the problem with the paralytic? He was looking for hope in the wrong, maybe the pool, the wrong place. But when he met Jesus, he got his dream fulfilled. Jesus says, stand up, rise up, take up your mat, and go home. Amen? See, you've got to do your part. You got to do your part. Even when life is hard, you got to get up off the floor. You got to worship him. Amen? You got to pray. You got to praise him. Say, God, I need you. And you got to, I said, get back into the word. You got to get into the word so the word can change your perspective and it could stir up your hope. You got to get back into the word so that you're, to let that word renew your mind and to anchor your soul. Even when life is hard. Amen? Let's face it. Life was hard ever since Adam. Ever since Adam, life on earth has been hard, right? I love what Kevin Jarrell says. He says, the first man, Adam, made life hard. But the second man, Jesus, came to make life good. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Yeah. Let's anchor our souls in the goodness of God. In summary, real quick, here it is. You get your hope back, how? By reading God's word. Saints, let's get into God's word like we never, ever thought before. Let's get into the word like we're reading afresh. Let's meditate on it. Let's just think about it. Think of what it means to us to, you know, what's he trying to say here? Let's, and second thing, you get your hope back by being in community. You were never meant to walk this life out alone. Amen? And thirdly, you get your hope back by trusting in the nature and the character of God, who is so good. Amen? If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen. 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 Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Hope is a person. Hope is a person. And today he offers the greatest gift that you could ever receive on this earth, called the gift of eternal life. The Bible says clearly in Romans that the wages of sin is death. It's an eternity in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came. He shed his blood. And he did it to save you because he loved you and he wanted to save you from an eternity in hell. Not just to make your life better. Yeah, certainly he can do that. But to save you from the worst mistake you could ever make. And that's to deny Jesus Christ. Today, if you surrender, listen, you know, you've got to give up your old life. You've got to give up your old values. You've got to surrender your life to him if you want to accept what is new and fresh and powerful. And that's what he offers you. Today, if you surrender your old life, your old values, you can receive into your heart Christ. And you will be saved. And you will receive this priceless gift. If that's you, and you've never received Christ, then you're headed to a Christless eternity. But you can change that all in a moment if you sincerely, with all your heart, say this prayer and really mean it. God will come in, and he'll save your soul, and he will change your life forever. If that's you, let's bow our heads. Will you pray this prayer after me? If you're online, join with me in this prayer. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of every sin that I have committed. Today and now, I surrender my old life, my old values, my old ways. I want to give them over to you, and I receive you into my heart as Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you, Father, for a brand new start and a new life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now with their, I just want to challenge you now. If you said that prayer for the very first time, will you just lift your hand and we just wave it high so we could see? I believe Victor is back there. If you said that prayer, will you take the next step? That's just the very preliminary. It's just the first step. Just go back there to that welcome lounge. There's a lamp there, and Victor will tell you what your next step in Christ is. If you're online, you said that prayer, push that little hand that you see near the bottom of the screen. That'll connect us. It'll connect you to us, and we'll tell you what your next faith step is in the Lord. Amen? What an incredible decision. What an incredible, exciting adventure and journey that you're on. Amen? If you did that, wow. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to the house of God.